Mr. Ayodei, in Torah, Rabbi Simcha Goldberg.
Good morning. Start with the Shikhar Hakdama. How it's been such a chizuk over the last few weeks throughout the country, throughout the world. The Gewaltika, Hisachtus, and Klal Yisrael, thousands of Yidden get together all over to celebrate Be'ikah, to celebrate the Siyumim Daf HaYomi. I just have a suggestion to make. I should be able to channel this Chizuk into an Aliyah, into a more positive extra boost for each of us. Those who do and those who don't on Daf HaYomi, for any of us. That the main theme of all the Siyumim and all the Drashas and all the Chizuk has been how beautiful it is to learn Torah, how special it is to be involved in Torah learning, which of course is obvious and always needs a Chizuk, like the Gemara says in Brachas, always needs a Chizuk. But perhaps each of us has to look at ourselves and figure out the best way for me personally or our group and our surroundings to thrive the best way in the learning of Torah. I want to say over, share with you a Bir HaGra, which I think I have said once here before. The Bir HaGra, there's a Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Dalet, says, "As Pnei Mevin Chachma, Ve'enei Chesil B'Ktei Ha'aretz." So the Pasuk, Pshat, the Pasuk would be a Mevin, somebody who understands, he seeks Chachma, he seeks wisdom, Torah, whereas a Chesil, which literally means a fool, he looks around the world and gets involved with other things to distract him from learning Torah. That would be the Pasuk, Pshat. The Bir HaGra, as he does, goes deeper into the Pasuk, and he says a very, very interesting thought. He says the following, "Ha-Mevin, as Pnei Mevin Chachma, Ha-Mevin, Einoi Roi'el Likpoitz, doesn't seek to jump, Elo Mevin Mashalafonov, but rather he seeks to understand what he's learning right now. Avla Kasil, Einov Likatsve Oretz, a Kasil, his eyes and his aims, his eyes are to the edge, Kseha Oretz, over Ace Sheyaskil Lilmoid, when he begins to learn, says the Gaon, Einov yechilu l'sayim hashas oy hamasechta. He is the whole time focusing, I want to finish shas. That's his beginning and that's his end. But he's not concentrating mash and afonov. This is what the Bir HaGra says. Hakasil, einov lekatvei oretz, over eis sheyaschil lilmod, lilmoid, einov yechilu l'sayim hashas. So, lechoy, it's strange, what's wrong with that? Good idea, have a sheifa. The answer is, good idea, fine, but what are you doing right now? So, the Gaon is telling us over here, that, and he goes on to explain, he's actually referring to somebody who is aiming to finish Shas and know it. If you look at the Gaon continues, if I look at it, and he says he's going to learn Shas, he's going to know Shas, and he's going to know it well at the end, but he's so busy trying to get to the end result of knowing it, he's not actually enjoying the experience of connecting to learning Torah while he's learning it. That's what the Gaon's talking about. But perhaps we can apply that, adapt it a little bit to people. Many of us are only human, and then may not actually know it in the real, true, clear knowledge of Shas. So perhaps we can apply it to ourselves and focus on the learning as we are learning. So perhaps in addition to a speedy program, zooming through Shas, in order to get to the end of Shas, to make a nice big siyum, which is beautiful, but at the same time, we should have perhaps a limud. Why can't we learn, progress through Shas without that pressure of having to finish a certain amount a day? Now, I would like to suggest, for some, not for everybody, lots of people have different tchunas and nefesh, different personalities, different feelings. But for some of us, for some of these hundreds of, or tens of thousands of people who are learning, for some of us, perhaps this would be an idea. To learn through a masechta without a specific target in the text. Let's say you have an hour or two, or three to learn, whatever amount of time it is. Your target should be, I want to learn this hour. The target should be in time and not in text. Depends on the sugya. I want to learn for, let's say, these 2 hours today. 6 to 8, 7 to 8, whatever. I've got these 2 hours to learn. I want to learn basmod. I want to learn, I don't want to be distracted. I'm going to learn this gemara. I'm going to start here and see how far I can get an understanding on the gemara, on the rashi, perhaps the tzitzis, perhaps more, each on his level. of whatever level he can get to absorb what the Gemara is telling us. And the next day, he makes a continuation. This is what we're up to in the state. This is what we're up to in the sugya. Let's continue the sugya. This way, a person can go through sugyas, proceed with absorbing what he's learning. Is he absorbing what he's learning? No less than somebody going through shas. It might take a bit longer, but at least he's learning. Right? Somebody, it's very hard to work out mathematically. Somebody suggested, within approximately 20 to 30 years, a person could go through shas. So rather than say, I've done shas four times. Yeah, what? Nothing. This way, you've absorbed some sugyas. You might not be able to memorize it all cold, but at least you've absorbed the sugyas. The learning experience has been connected to learning Torah. So I would suggest, and perhaps in addition to a quick learning, this could be done. Now, there's different levels of Eon, you know. You know, you can do Eon, you can take one daf, one sugya, and spend literally weeks or even months on one sugya. It can be done. That's one way to do it. There's a balance of, depending on your situation, how much time you have, etc., of something called, perhaps you call it Chatzi Eon. Chatzi Eon means to take a Gemara, take the main points of the sugya, the main Rishonim, perhaps there's two shittas of Rashi, a Tosafot, a Rambam, the main shittas of Rishonim, the main points which are difficult to understand, and pose the questions at least, if not having the answers to every question, Chatzi Eon, getting a bit of the handle of the sugya, feeling of the sugya, and moving on to the next. And I think it would be a great idea if there would be a shir, a group of people to do that, then it could be belong and have the goal and the motivation to continue whatever time in the morning, getting up, whatever it is in the evening, and continue the process of going through Shas with a connection to the Torah, with a connection to Hashem. Something to think about. That depends on the person. Yeah. That's also, that's the other option. Yeah, 100%. Nobody says replace that for Yom with something else. No, definitely not. Yeah, depends on the person as well. Depends on the person. Anyway, something I suggest. Maybe, if you can get a group together, maybe. We can talk. Parsha Shemos. Parsha Shemos. Right, I have a few points to discuss this week's Parsha. The first one relates to a quite well-known memra, which is foreign bring down. Actually, Prima Godmi is one of those who brings it down. Ve'eile Shemos b'nei Yisrael, Shin Mem Vav Sof. Shtayim Mikra ve'achot Targum. Prima Godmi in Halacha of Shtayim Mikra, Simon Reish Behei, brings it down. It comes from earlier sources as well. So, a little bit about Shtayim Mikra. The Chidor, I think, brings it. Balasurim brings it, right, Balasurim. Yeah. So let's be mechazik ourselves. We all should do Shnayim Mikra. Not everybody necessarily does it, but it might say, is in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says in Brachos Tafches, Gemara says, Om Rav Yudah, Om Rav Ami, Lo'oilom Yashlim Odom Parashi Yosef Im Hatzibo Shnayim Mikra V'Echot Hagum. That's the Gemara in Brachos. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And the Gemara carries on. So what it says, Kol Hamashlim Parashi Yosef Im Hatzibo Ma'arichin loy yomov ushinoisov. So besides the fact it's probably a chiyuv to do it, like any other mitzvah, but it's also a special segula for Arichis Yomov. So you know they say, don't worry about the time you spend on Shnayim Mikra, because you get longer years at the end anyway, so it makes up for the lost time. That the Gemara says, Ma'arichin loy yomov ushinoisov. That's the Gemara, that's the Shulchan Aruch, to do Shnayim Mikra. Interesting shaila, in Rashi and Tosafos on that Gemara, and the Rosh, what happens when it comes to a pasuk? Actually, the Gemara is actually interesting. We'll give an example of a pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar, pasuk Perik Lamed Beis, pasuk Gimel, where the Bnei God and Bnei Reuven came along and they requested from Moshe Rabbeinu, we'd like some land in Eva Hayardin. So it says, Vayavoyu b'nei God b'nei Reuven, the beginning of their conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, and it begins with the pasuk as follows: Atchoris v'divoin v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshboin ve'el olei u'savam u'nevoyu v'ayin. A list of approximately whatever 10 places. Each of the words is a name of a place. A name of a place, and of course they continue to say, we request, can we have these places in Eva Hayadin? So the question is, what do you do for Shnayim Mikra on this pasuk? The Gemara does this as an example of a pasuk where the Targum is word for word the same as the Mikra. Actually, I notice our Targum is not. I don't know why. Our Targum explains each word differently. Can I have a look? So that's a kasha. But the Gemara quotes this pasuk. Maybe the Targum we have is not. Okay, I don't know. Chvisish. The Gemara quotes this pasuk as an example where you just. What? As you show me.
They changed it in that pasuk.
Right, that pasuk, because the Rishonim say there is Targum Yerushalmi on that pasuk, not Targum Unkelus. The word our Targum Unkelus mixed in over there. The Gemara says this pasuk doesn't have a Targum. The word for word exactly what you're supposed to do. Shnai Mikra, Yachal Targum. What are you supposed to do? So here's a machlekes. Here's a machlekes. So Shittas Rashi, the Tosfos over there actually explains the Rashi a bit clearer. Shittas Rashi is that Shesorich Likoisoi Shloisha Pa'amim Be'ivri. Obviously, Shnai Mikra, twice in the Chumash. The third time, Nachamol. The words of the Targum are identical to the words of the Pasuk. So, Nachamol, Shloisha Pa'amim Be'ivri, Halt Rashi. Just do it a third time in the Loshon, which the Targum, the Chumash, is exactly the same word for word. That's Shittas Rashi. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that the Rosh then moves it on to another example, which is a little bit clearer. It's Reuven v'Shimon. Right, when the Pesukim talk about the Shorty, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, there definitely is no Targum at all. No Targum at all in those Pesukim. So the Rosh says, no problem, just read it twice. Shnai Mikra, V'yachol Targum, Nizok and Targum. Reuven, Shimon, etc. Those words don't have a translation. Targum just says the same words as the Pesuk. You don't need to bother with the Targum. It just says there's nothing new to add. Shnai Mikra is fine. That's the Rosh. Okay, Ateres of Divon is a little bit different because it is a Targum Yerushalmi that you mentioned. So there's a Shaila. The Rosh and Tosfos say perhaps it's better to use Yerushalmi. That's another discussion we'll discuss maybe soon. Let's talk about a case such as Reuven and Shimon where there is no Targum. So we have a clear machlekes.
Why do you say it twice? If it's no...
Well, no, Yerushalmi anyway, right? Every word.
The
Shaila the third time, that's a Shaila. Yeah, no. It's regular. That's not a shy. Why do you shnaimik? Yeah, but here the question is, what's the objective of the third time? So here we have a machlekes. Shittas Rosh is so that's not Rashi. Shittas Rashi is you have to do it three times. If the third time is no time, so do the chumash a third time. Shittas Rosh is no. He says if it's there's a time, good. No time, don't bother. What's the machlekes between Rashi and the Rosh? So the machlekes is like this. What's the understanding of echo Targum? What's the Pshat? When Chazal say, read it, Echol Targum. Is the Pshat that what the Torah wants is, you got to read this three times. You got to learn the Chumash three times. The third time, ideally, should be explanatory. Twice is just the text itself. And the third time, in the first instance, the Chakila, should be someone which explains it more. If it isn't, sure, do it anyway. So the story of Echol Targum, according to the Rashi, is do the Mikra a third time. That's the story. That's the Nechiv. Do it three times. Happens to be the third time, in most cases, will add explanation. If it doesn't, still do it three times. That's the shit of Rashi. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh has no din of doing it three times. The halacha is Shinai Mikra. You do it twice. Then you add explanation. The whole gather of the third time, according to the Shittas of Rosh, is add the explanation, add the pirush. If there is no pirush, so don't bother. That's the machlekes between Rashi and the Rosh. Is the third time be a soy the chiyuv to do the mikra a third time, or is it just add the explanation where appropriate? No explanation, don't do it. That's lechoyer the machlekes. That's lechoyer the machlekes. In halacha, it's brought down in Morgan Avraham. It should be brought down in Morgan Avraham that you should be machmir. Like Shittas Rashi, Tosfos also is similar to Rashi in that, and you take say it three times. You take say the Targum, even though it's Pesukim.
You don't sound Targum, what's
hell? Oh, that's another Shaila, you don't understand it, yeah. Yeah, that's another Shaila, yeah. That's another Machlokes, which is a little bit connected to this. We move on, in a minute maybe we'll see a little bit more about that, yeah. Yeah. There's some very, very interesting halacha. When you get an Aliyah, especially, you know, in the times of the Gemara, the one who got the Aliyah would actually do the laning as well. So the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch says, it's a Gemara in Megillah of Lamed Aleph on the base, and Shulchan Aruch Sim Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, it's a Tosfos in Megillah, apologies, Tosfos in Megillah says, that Ein Adam Rashoi Likuith Batoya Atzi Yasti HaParsha Gimu Pa'amim. You never know, you're going to maybe get Aliyah this week. So the Aliyah, maybe you do know before which Aliyah it is. When you get an Aliyah, you should make sure you've prepared it, says Tosfos, the Loshon brings down a Medrash, Gimu Pa'amim before. Possibly in order to be able to lane, because the person who got that used to lane the Torah. So you should prepare it, Gimu Pa'amim, in order to be able to lane it. That's what the halacha is. But in Shulchan Aruch, there's a slight variation of that Loshon. The Loshon of Tosfos quotes from the Medrash is, Ein Odom Rashoi Likos Batoya, Atzi Yasdir HaParsha Gimu Pa'amim. That's the Loshon of the Medrash in Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch, Kuflam says Seif Aleph. It says Loi Im Loi Sider Tchila Haparsha Pamayim V'Sholosh Lo Yale. Loshon Im Loi Sider Tchila Haparsha Pamayim V'Sholosh Lo Yale. Say the Shulchan Aruch. If you haven't prepared it first two or three times, then don't get the aliyah. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. They call you up. I don't know. But anyway, that's what it says. Shulchan Aruch. What does it mean? Two or three? Is it two or three? It's a possible shat will be. It depends on the person. You know, some people get the feel much quicker. So two is enough. That would be possible shat. Or we could make a chiddush over here. You could say depends which words. Those words which have a pirush like a targum, which is most of the Torah, you pay it three times the pirush as well. But those words have no pirush, so two is enough. The third time, the whole point is to get the pirush, to get the understanding. Interesting, incidentally, by the way, when you get an aliyah or you learn after, whatever, how much you understand of what you're actually saying. That's another question. But according to this, you'd have to have to prepare the understanding as well of the aliyah which you're going to be getting. That will be one point, the machlekes rishonim and shnayim mikra. Another point is, what about, which you sort of mentioned a minute ago, what about other languages, other pirushim? So that's also a machlekes. The Tosfos then brachas and that sugi daf ches. Tosfos brings down yesh meforshim who are then the loyazois belas shalohem. So instead, the yesh meforshim, well, you don't have to do targum dafka. You do twice, obviously it's twice mikra. Obviously you do twice the text of the chumash, and the third time you find another pirush which suits you. So if you speak Chinese, so you find one in Chinese, the layazo is French, whatever you manage, whatever your language you understand, you take a language you understand, translation, and that's fine. Yes, Mevoshim. That's Mevoshim. Veloina Hira, Toysa disagrees. He says, no, you've got to do Daf Ketagum. Go Daf Ketagum. Now, in this idea of Daf Ketagum, there's two ways to understand, and two shittas in the Rishonim. Toysa gives a reason, because the Targum isn't merely a translation. There's often enough instances where the Targum adds a whole extra shtickle in a bio and a havana in the pasuk more than just a translation. Right? The one which comes to mind is the pasuk is Leisalin Chelev Chagiyat Boikin. The pasuk says that you mustn't leave over a korban which goes on the mizbeach till the next day. And remember, the Targum adds three words: Bar min madbecha. Don't leave it off the mizbeach. Mashma, if you put it on the mizbeach overnight and not on the actual flat fire, but on the mizbeach, it's okay. So machlek is in the Gemara. Lina me'elas b'shem mizbeach. That's just an example where the Targum adds a whole new dimension to the Chumash. Says Tosfos, a French or Chinese translation may not do justice to these explanations which the Targum is adding. That's the one reason why one should only do the Targum the third time and not. Yeah, well, that's a good question. According to what I'm saying now, if you don't remember to understand what you're saying, that would be questionable, yeah? Yeah. However, there's another pshat, which will answer perhaps what you're saying. The Beis Yosef brings down from the Goinim, from Rabbi Amram Gon, from Rabbi Ritunoi Gon, and he says a chiddush. He says, HaTargum, it's based on the Gemara Megillah, HaTargum Nitzem B'Sinai. Although Targum was only discovered by Onkelos Hager many years down the line, but really, it was there at Har Sinai. Targum Onkelos isn't just a simple translation or even explanation of the Chumash. It was given at Sinai. This is what the Beis Yosef brings down. According to that, there's nothing to do whether you do or don't understand it. So then, you got to say the Targum. It's part of the Torah Shavar Peh. Part of Torah Shavar Peh is to say the Targum of the Chumash, whether you understand it or not, according to that, this Shitta. There's two separate reasons. What's the idea of Echol Targum then? Is it because Targum is the best, one of the best explanation, or the best explanation to add the right words when necessary? Or is it much more than that, much deeper than that? It was Nitzim B'Sinai. This is brought down by the Beis Yosef, Shalas Shuvah Zerumah, Simukuf Chavzayim. So that will be the Shaila. What's the matter with Nafkamina? What do you do? Back to our Pasuk, Atoros V'Divan. So Tosfos says that that Pasuk, Atoros V'Divan, we spoke before about whether you do or don't have to do a third time. But Tosfos says, ideally, the Rosh Hashanah says, Yoyse Toiv to say Targum Yushalmi, which seems to be what's printed in our Chumashim on that Pasuk. That's what Tosfos says in Brachas. Yoyse Toiv to do the third time round, Targum Yushalmi. However, they say in Rashi, no, you can't do it. You don't get Targum Yushalmi, you've got to do Targum Onkelos. That will be the Machlokes. Rashi will hold that the idea of Targum Onkelos is because Nitzim B'Sinai. It was given at Sinai, you can't do something else instead, but you've got to do Targum Onkelos. Whereas the other Rishonim, Tosfos and Rosh, yeah, the Rosh also mentions Targum Yushalmi there, will hold, no, the point of the Targum is, it's a satisfactory explanation of the Pasuk. So therefore, if you've got a Pasuk with a Targum Onkelos, it's just word for word the same, so take Targum Yushalmi. And that will be the Machlekes. That will be the Machlekes. Again, the Halacha, the Rabbeinu Yonah actually, the Halacha is in Shulchan Aruch. It brought down the Loshon, if you learn Rashi, if you learn Chumash, Beperush Rashi, Choshuv Kemoi Targum, V'yoresh Shemaim, Yikot Targum V'gam Perush Rashi. So it's better to definitely do something, either the or the Rashi or the Targum. But he says better to do the Targum and Rashi. Okay, that's a shayla halacha exactly. Obviously, one does do the Targum. So to summarize, we look now two machlokes in here regarding Shnai Mikra. Number one, the machlokes is the third time the objective just another time to say the Torah. Happens to be ideally one should do it in a way which understand with Targum with understanding. But either way, you have to do the third time. Or no, the point of the third time is only as an explanation, as an understanding of the Chumash. That's the first machlekes. Second machlekes is, why Targum? Why not do it French or Chinese or Rashi? Two shits is why. Either because Targum nitzvah m'Sinai. It's part of the Kabbalah Moshe Rabbeinu m'Sinai, Targum. Or because Targum adds explanations as appropriate in the right places, that's why we do Targum. That's one Indian I wanted to discuss, the two machlekes. Let's move on to another Indian also from this week's parasha. There is an interesting stira regarding the following halacha. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says the following. It's a Mishnah. Mishnah Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Alef. And it says there, Oyvedes Kechavim Meinika B'no Shel Yisrael Birushusa. Which means if you have a young baby who needs to nurse from a lady, from a Meinika, and if necessary, one can take an Avedes Kechavim, a Nochris, one can take a non-Jewish lady, and she can nurse the young baby. Birushusa. The Gemara discusses another issue, which is Sakona, can you trust the person? The Gemara discusses it, to make sure you got Birushusa, there'll be some shame around. Okay, that's a separate issue. But let's discuss the actual Yenika itself. It's Mutzah for a baby to take milk from a Nochris. A Goyish lady. That's the Gemara of the Dod, Av Chav Vav Omed Aleph. The Gemara of Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet discusses the same issue, and the more be the brisa, and it says Yoinik Tinuk V'Hoylech. A Tinuk can continually be Yoinik nurse me Oyvedes Kichavim or me Behemah Tameya. Even milk which comes directly from a Behemah Tameya is okay. And the Gemara says Mishum Sakana, Mishum Sakana, Mishum Sakana, because the Rishonim explain Stam Tinuk Mesukunu Etzachal. Very young baby must have milk. Can't give him challenge. You've got to drink milk. And it's a sakona. He hasn't got milk. Sakona sefoshes, pikuach nefesh. So the contradiction is it mutter, or is it only because of the sakona and pikuach nefesh? What's the understanding? How do we reconcile the two gemaras? The Medrash, in this week's parasha, brings that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as a baby, they found the Bestia, Bas Paro, he found him in the water, and took him, and he wasn't feeding, he wasn't nursing. So Miriam said, I'll go and get for you a mother, a menika min ha'evriyos, a Yiddish mama. So the Medrash asks, why was Miriam stressing the fact she's going to find a Yiddish lady to go and nurse this child? Why not? Why? What's wrong with a Yiddish lady, says the Medrash. And the Medrash brings this Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Avedes Kechavim Menika B'no Shel Yisrael. It's permitted. So why did she say Mo'eviyos? We all know the Medrash continues because Moshe Rabbeinu as a baby wouldn't take from the other mothers, from the Nochris, from the non-Jewish ladies. It says Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Hapeh She'asid Ledabe Imi Yinik Dov Atame. Because you know Moshe Rabbeinu had a special relationship as he grew older with the Kodesh Baruch Hu Peh Adabe Boy, obviously special Madrega. That's the Medrash which seems to say Ape Halacha Be'etim will be Mutzah to take milk to be nursed from a Avedes Kechavim. And the Medrash brings this Gemara down. The Rishonim discuss to reconcile the two Gemaras. So the Rishonim say, well, one answer could be Enoch and Emma. The Gemara in Avedes Zarah, which says you're allowed to do it, means because it's a Kona. The Gemara doesn't say that, but perhaps that's the meaning of the Gemara. It's a Pekuach Nefesh, no alternative, and that's when it says Avedes Kechavim Menika Shel Yisrael. That's one option which we show him gives the Ram brings a Yesh Beforshim in the Ram and Avodah Zarah, Yesh Beforshim. But the other territory is, which we show him seems to say, it's a Drabonon. Now it's Mi'ikadim Midori Raisa, it's Mutter, for a baby to nurse from Treif. Behemoth Tameah, we're talking about Behemoth Tameah, proper Treif for milk or Chol of Nochris. Now the reason why it's Mutter, we show him say, because it's more it says in Bukhairis anyway. Even the most kosher milk in the world is a problem. For you to drink milk is a problem. Yotze min achai. Similar to Eva min achai. Right? The milk comes from a chai, and the halacha is you don't have to take, eat, or drink from a chai, from a live animal. Like Eva min achai. Not Eva min achai, this. Yeah, it's Yotze min achai. Yotze min achai. Yeah, not Eva min achai, but something similar. Yotze min achai. So the Gemara says in Mechayra, the Gemara looks at various places in the Torah and finds special psukim that is permitted. There's no question about it. Kosher milk is definitely permitted. Now, what will be special because it's not kosher, even though really it should be forbidden because it's yotze min achai. It's okay. So we show you, we say, for that, cholov or nochis is the same. Cholov nochis, you might have a lot of reason why you might think it's also. But it doesn't matter, because the same Gezeirah Zakosu, which says milk is permitted, even though l'choyah there will be reasons to ask them, because Yitzhak Menachai, Cholav Nochris is Mutah Min Hatur. This is what the Rishayim say, the Ran in Avodah Zohar, and he brings the Rashba and the Ritzvah. However, Midrabanon is also, unless the child obviously needs it, but otherwise it's also. Now this is very interesting to see how the Rishayim put it. What's the Issa Midrabanon? Why is it that Cholav Nochris is Chazal don't want the child to have it? So the ritual says because nochris a non-Jewish lady oichlin shkotzim uremosim oichlin shkotzim mosim, they eat treif v'cholov shalahen moilid achzoyis or midus rois. Yeah, to eat shkotzim uremosim, to eat treif, which the nochris is doing. And then the tchunas and the part what lies inside that treif stuff goes through to the milk, which he then feeds the baby. So the baby's going to get midus rois and achzorius. So he's shaitin the ritva, which obviously opens up the sugya of macholas asuris treif food. We know that what we do as Torah mitzvahs is exerts a cost, so we keep what the Torah says. At the end of the day, some of the mitzvahs, the Rishonim give sometimes explanations which we can understand. The Ramban in Parsha Shmini says that about a particular treifer bird. The Ramban says, "Moilid, whatever hamarira, the noisen achzorius believe." He's actually talking about an oif. I don't necessarily say it by all treif, but he's talking about an oif, and one of the simonim. One of the signs when a bird, which is treif, is non-kosher, is doris. Well, there's four signs for a bird. One of them is doris. If it eats the food by sort of pouncing on the food, which is not a nice thing to do. So that's, so the Ramban says, if a person eats this bird, which is treif, not kosher, nois nachzorius b'leiv. That's the Ramban. And the Ibn Ezra, actually, that's the Parsha Shmini. The Ibn Ezra, Parsha Kedoshim, in the midst of Orla is perfectly normal fruit. Yet, he says, Yodua, says Ibn Ezra, Hapri ad sholishonim ein boi toyeles umazik. The same fruit, the same gishmaka, beautiful fruit, which I'm going to eat after 3 years' time when it's not ola, for the first 3 years, he says, is mazik. And he says, is mazik, kasha yazik leguf, cold dag, she'eno yisnapin v'kaskesis. Azoizot Ibn Ezra, that if somebody eats a fish, which is a non-kosher fish, it hasn't got fins and scales, so it's not kosher, it's mazik leguf. The yazik lenefesh hachochma basa kol oif hadoiris vabehemeris hatmeris. So Ibn Ezra says about Shkodeshim, non-kosher animals and birds, non-kosher food, is mazik lenefesh hachochma. So without understanding, going back to the Rishayim and Avodah Zarah, the Ritva and the Ram are saying, the Ritva saying that because a nochris eats shkosim u'matzim, eats non-kosher foods, and that therefore has an effect on the cholov, so therefore, midrabanan, it's a good idea, Chazal say, a child should, if at all, if there are other options, a child shouldn't drink cholov nochris for that reason. That's what the reason given by those who shine him. The Rashba also works on the same lines, slightly different. If you look at the Ran, the way he brings the Rashba down, the way the Zohar this is, and he says like this. First of all, he doesn't say it's Issa Drabonon, he calls it Midas Chasidus. Midas Chasidus who Shaloi Lahonik Micholov Kutis. Okay, I don't know what the halacha on that point is, but one vision says it's an Issa Drabonon, and one Issa says it's Midas Chasidus. Okay, but what is the Nakuda? So he says, the Ran brings down, Lefi, Shetivon shall ye soil rachmonin ubaishonin. Sa'af chelbon megadil teva kayutzi boze. Which means, it's not only what you eat, it's a yid mizagoy. Ayid b'tagoy. Yisrael has a neshama tahira, rachmonim, baishonim, the good midras going to the neshama of Yisrael are there in the neshama of Yisrael, and that comes through in the cholah, which the Israelis nurses the child. A goy b'atzmuso, the goy has in herself tevara. Whatever, even the goy is only mahajim and a mahajim her whole life. She only did kosher. Abba, she's a goy. Called man, she has no geirus, you understand? She's a goyza, a nochris. So he said, the teva of a nochris is a tevara. Tevara. That's the difference between two rishonim. Some rishonim will say that the reason is because what the person has eaten, he's an eater. Shkotim, remosim. The other one says, it's because a goyza is a goyza. In Bat Musa. Obviously, in Afkamina will be, imagine you have a nochris who eats only kosher, or conversely the opposite, unfortunately, if he has a Bat Yisrael who eats treif, then obviously you'll have one reason, not the other. In the case, is it toilet on the food which you're eating, or is it toilet on you yourself? That's a machlekes, we're showing him what the reasoning is behind this. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridah, Simon Pei Aleph, Siv Zayin, the Ramah brings down, I think almost word for word, the Ran. He says, Loi Yaniku Tinuk Menakutis Im Efshah B'Yisraelis. Obviously, Pekoch Nefesh, Pekoch Nefesh. But otherwise, the child should rather go for Yisraelis. The Chol of Kutis Metamtim Halev. Okay? Chol of Kutis Metamtim Halev. And then he says, V'chein Loi Stoich Lamei Nekes Afilu Yisraelis Dvoim Asurim. Which really covers both, really. That even the Israelis shouldn't be eating Dvoim Asurim anyway. But Mazik Loi Bezik Lutzik and Mazik. There's a very, very interesting Tosfos in Ebed Zohar in Daf Yud, a different place, Daf Yud, and he brings a Medrash. We all know the Gemara discusses there about Rebbe and Antoninus, who had a certain relationship with each other. They met in secret and to make sure the government wouldn't find out, and he taught him Torah. So the Medrash says the following. The Medrash says when they were both very young, both Rebbe and Antoninus were babies. Because Rebbe, there was a gezeira in the country, Shaloi Lomel, nobody's allowed to do Bris Milah. So obviously the parents of Rebbe weren't going to have any of that, and they did the Bris Milah on their child, on baby Rebbe. Sholach Kesa Beviri LeRebbe Ve'imoy Lefonov. So somehow the Kesa got wind of this and called, summoned the mother with the child to see, no, did he do Bris Milah? This is a very, very, very dangerous thing to do. So somehow they managed to switch the baby for Antoninus. So for a time they knew they had this summons from the king, from the Caesar, and they had to bring this baby to show the king that he had not had Bris Milah. Somehow she switched this baby with Antoninus. So the mother of Rebbe was nursing Antoninus. This is a Medrash. Medrash says. Maybe he doesn't say that. Maybe she did both. Maybe she did both. No, she had both, Afshar. One in the cupboard, and one in the chlesis. Shaitnish. Sheva Heni Kosoi, the mother of Rebbe, was Maynik, was nursing Antoninus. At Shaviyu, till her appointment came to come to for the Kesar, and the Kesar couldn't believe his eyes. This child had not a Bris Milah. He says, I don't understand it. He says, it must be a nace, and he cancelled the whole Gezer. That's what the Medrash says. But the Medrash finishes off. So he quotes the Yerushalmi, the same Torah continues with Yerushalmi. So Besoif Lomad Antoninus Torah, when this guy Omal Atmoy, Antoninus later on did Geirus and got close to the Torah as a result of the Cholov Yehudis, the Jewish milk which he'd received from Rebbe's mother as a child. That shows you the same concept, how the Cholov of the mother has an effect on the child. On this subject, there's a very interesting, thought provoking Ran, very, very interesting, Drushas HaRan. The Joshua Ran is discussing a case. We know from Parsha Shoftim, Masechtas Horias, that the Sanhedrin of Klal Yisrael, the Beis Din of Klal Yisrael, Paskin public shilas. And there's a whole Masechtas Horias about if the Beis Din made a mistake. There's Korbanos, Par Helem, Dovah, Shel Tzibur. The whole Klal Yisrael followed a certain directive, a certain halacha, which the Beis Din HaGadol Paskind, and it was a mistake. So there'll be a Korban, special Korban. That's a sugya. The Joshua Ran discusses. Imagine they paskened, I don't know if it actually ever happened, but imagine they paskened about a particular food was kosher. And it wasn't. And it was not, imagine a whole Klal Yisrael eating, geschmack, eating a food which was paskened is kosher, beska hechsher, and it was found out, clearly it was a mistake. It was a mistake. Klal Yisrael didn't do anything wrong, they followed the directives of the Beis Din HaGadol without any question. And so he wants to know, you know, do they inside them have any chesaron in the nefesh by eating this food? That's the Drosh HaZoram. So he says, Ani soiva. So the Ran says, E efsha she yimshach hefsed benefesh. It can't be that any yid would suffer in his nefesh by having taken in these machoros asuras. Mima sheyachwiu hasanhedrin. Because what he's doing, he's only following Sanhedrin. And he says, the tikkun ashi yimoshach benefesh mitzad ha'achol mitzvah chachomim. In other words, the zchus from listening to what Beis Din are saying, to listening to the Rav, listening to, we're talking about accepted Beis Din, we're talking about a proper pesach which came from the Beis Din and God without any question, you had the zchus to listen to what Beis Din are saying, that zchus overrides any chisson which may happen, because in the end it turned out, unfortunately, it was a mistake. He says, the zchus of doing the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohev yoyse mikol, that you're doing the right thing what Hashem wants you to do. And that overrides, the idea that the Maisa, you ate treif. That's what he says. As he states in the Gdosh HaZoran. He says, Hemsheichoy ach atzosam, following the eights of the Beis Din, is yoyse min nafshe kol hara shoy royosh yisalit. Now question, how far you take this? Does that mean whenever it's permitted or a mitzvah to eat it, there's no ra? That's a big famous controversy amongst the poiskim, amongst the mforshim. Let's say somebody's in a situation of a sakana. He's ill, very ill, choli shesh sakana, and he has to eat non-kosher. It happens, though, people. Is there any, that's only a theoretical question, because he has to do it anyway, right? But do we say also there, that the mitzvah of menishvat and avshesechem, the mitzvah of looking after your health, overrides any ra which might happen? According to this Ram, perhaps you could say, any time you're doing something which I don't want you to do, it overrides any of the Ram. The question is, back to our baby, so what's the whole Shaila? The Rishonim say, when a baby eats chol of noch, it's a problem, timtum, aleiv, etc. Surely the baby's doing a mitzvah. The Shema Abnav Shesechem. The baby needs it for survival. So according to the Ram, it's the same Ram, right? According to the Ram, since it's doing for the baby's survival, it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to look after your health, so how could there be any problem of timtum and ra involved? That's the question. One answer could say very simply be, the baby's not doing a mitzvah. The babies are not bar mitzvahs, not bar das at all. It's the parents who are doing the mitzvah, the baby's eating the food. That could be one possible answer. Happy Shabbos. Yeah. Now we should have to get a ball.